Palm Sunday, the King is coming. This is a very famous relief of Titus, the Roman Emperor, soon to be Roman Emperor, his triumphal entry after conquering Jerusalem. Roman generals like to proceed into the city as a conquering king to show how great they were and what power they had. And so today, as we look around the world, what are you, I guess I'd want us to think about, whom do we look to as our king? What is important for us? You know, just constantly on news now, with politics especially, but nationalism, you've heard the word jingoism, chauvinism, that's a word that comes from a fictitious Roman soldier, not Roman, French soldier, in Napoleon Bonaparte's army, Nicholas Chauvin, just extreme nationalism. And of course, we hear on the news the terms that we Christians are Christian nationalists. Political parties, you know, will brand one leader or another their savior. What do we expect from the world? Well, all the Gospels do talk about what is called the triumphal entry or Palm Sunday. Now we're going to look at Gospel of Mark, who tends to downplay that a little bit and recognize that Jesus is the king, but have we gotten him wrong? And so first of all, Scott, could I ask you, Kelvin owes him. Yeah, Mark 11, verses 1 to 11.
Mark 11, 1 to 11. And now they came near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. He sent out two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. And some of those who stood there said to them, "Why are you doing loosing the colt?" So they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments on the road, but others cut down leafy branches from the trees spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the highest of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he looked around and at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany.
Thank you, Scott. So I'm not going to go into an in-depth exposition of that, but that is Mark's relating the events of the triumphal entry. And there's lots of scripture, Old Testament scripture, being fulfilled in what Jesus did, especially the Messiah from Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so Mark, who was an associate with Peter, but as he's writing this, his purpose in his gospel, he has shown Jesus as the suffering servant. Jesus is a man, came as a man, like Angela talked about, 100% man, the incarnation. And he came to be the servant of the Lord in the most ultimate sense. Now, Matthew portrays Jesus as a king. Luke portrays him as the Son of Man, so the and the priest. And John portrays him as the Son of God. But for Mark, this is the first announcement or the first public declaration of Jesus' messiahship, because scholars talk about it through Mark as a servant, the messianic secret. Jesus is always saying, now's not the time, but here he is being publicly declared as the king, fulfilling many of the scriptures of the Davidic, the true Davidic king, Jesus, as a descendant of King David in the flesh. And so he is fulfilling scripture, but in a subdued manner. And what Scott read earlier, Psalm 118, was what was part of the Psalms that were called the Egyptian Hallel. Hallel meaning praise. But they would, as the pilgrims, the Jewish pilgrims, would go up to Jerusalem for Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, they would sing on their way, all the way up there. And a lot of these Davidic Psalms, the Hallel, Psalms 113 to 118, would be sung just as part of this feast. But for Tabernacles and then also Passover, which today, if you didn't know, is the first day of Passover on the Jewish calendar. But it came to sort of take on a nationalistic meaning with a lot of fervor. You know, the Jewish people were under the boot of the Roman government. And so there was a lot of yearning for independence. And so the people were all spun up, ready for a king to come and throw off the Roman overlords. And so just singing Psalm 118 and some of the language, Hosanna, which in Hebrew means save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's from Psalm 118, verse 26. The kingdom of David, you know, the Jewish people look back to that first major kingdom under King David. And so a lot of political expectations and, you know, nationalism, jingoism, chauvinism, if you will. And so what were the people expecting? What was their Messiah? You know, what were they thinking the Messiah would be? And were they more felt needs that they were looking to, or their real needs for this suffering servant coming into Jerusalem? And those people back then, like maybe we do sometimes, create our Savior, our Messiah, our King in our image. You know, what can you do for me, Jesus? What is our view of ultimate kingship? You know, is it government? Is it, you know, all the things? Usually we're at the center of that, aren't we? And so we want Jesus to come and do what we want him to do. Those are our expectations. But the reality is something much different. And Mark, the writer of the gospel, by subduing the nationalistic aspect, is just calmly pointing out who this Jesus really was. And Messiah just is a Hebrew word meaning the anointed one. Well, we sang in one of the songs, I was pleased to see that. I hadn't planned that, but Jesus is the prophet, priest, and king. What people were anointed with oil in the Old Testament? Prophets, priests, kings. And so we have the Old Testament stories of all the human kings, prophets, priests, some good, a lot of bad ones. But Jesus as the, capital T, the prophet, capital P, that he is fulfilling that aspect. And these terms actually come from an old dead guy named Eusebius, who was a Jewish historian, or a church historian, that actually came up with this in about the 5th century. But Jesus as prophet, priest, king. Prophet, in Acts chapter 3. Luke says, "For Moses truly said to our fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, your brethren, from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people.'" I'm sorry. Yeah, in Matthew 13, "So they were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house.'" Hebrews chapter 1, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world." So what does a prophet do? He proclaims. So Jesus, as the Son of God, is proclaiming God's word in a very literal sense. So, you know, politicians proclaim, I guess, but this is the truth of who Jesus is as the prophet that was foretold in the Old Testament. What about a priest like Melchizedek? Psalm 110, 4, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In Hebrews 7 tells us, who was Melchizedek that Abraham paid tithes to? Well, Melchizedek, you know, we don't know a lot about him. The Bible doesn't talk about it. But he was royal. He was a priest king. He had no ancestry recorded in Scripture. He was timeless in the sense that he was beyond time and used to represent as a type of Christ. And he was superior to Aaron, the Jewish Moses' brother, the first high priest. And so Melchizedek was this unique feature. And some scholars think that it was a pre-incarnate Christ. But Melchizedek means in Hebrew, the king of righteousness. And so the ultimate priest Jesus is fulfilling. What do priests do? They mediate. He is the one priest that can bring the people to God. And then finally, the king. Isaiah 9:7, we know this from Christmas. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And what do kings do? They rule. So a prophet, priest, king. So all those Old Testament men were types pointing forward to the true prophet, priest, king, who made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the appointed day. In fact, I sort of find this interesting during the Passover, which was at the time of Easter back, you know, our first Easter, as the Christian church says, was at Passover time. And the Passover lamb for each family was to be chosen 4 days before the lamb was killed. And so that, you know, the little kids would grow up with this lamb, this, you know, little pet. And then on the Passover, that lamb was slain. And so here Jesus is, you know, roughly, well, several days prior to the crucifixion, coming into Jerusalem. And then on Passover Eve, you know, what we call Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, Jesus was then slain as that lamb, that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice. So I think we know this, but hopefully during this time of year, we recognize that our King, our trust in kings, messiahs, rulers, goes beyond petty nationalism. And Giles, when he was praying, used a good word, fickle faith, because here the people were, Hosanna, Hosanna on Sunday, and by Thursday they're saying, crucify him. And then a beautiful song that Angela sang, were you there? Just think, if we were there, we would have been some right there probably with the crowds, saying, well, he's not living up to my expectation. I didn't vote for him. And so crucify him. He's not doing what I want. And also, as Angela's song pointed out, we tend to think of celebrations. Palm Sunday. I mean, ham. I don't know if the Jews would eat ham. But here we are, celebrating. Easter sunrise, more food, the resurrection service, from one celebration to another. But we forget the cross, the suffering by which God's, and Mark portrays him as the suffering servant. Glory comes through the suffering of the cross. And we live in a culture and in a church that a lot of times wants those big events. We only want the blessing. We don't want to be there at the foot of the cross like Angela sang. And so it's not just all parties. Jesus did conquer death and hell. We know what the end of the week holds or the beginning of next week. But let's not be so fast to get to the happy times of what we expect out of, what our view of what the Savior should be. And so the challenge, that you've heard before, but what kind of king are you looking for? Am I looking for? What do we project onto Jesus? What can you do for me versus he came to die for your sin and my sin. And that's a little bit more of the reality that hopefully becomes our hope and expectation versus the shallow, temporal, kingdoms of man today. We as Christians should have that greater view. So, and it's all for God's glory. So the way the gospel writers portray this, and their different perspectives, like Angela sang, it sort of causes me to tremble thinking about the reality of what Christ did for me and for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the celebration. And as we look at the triumphal entry, we can celebrate as long as we have the proper perspective of the reality of our prophet, priest, and king, and why we truly are saying, Hosanna, save now. It goes much more beyond a cheer. It's the depth of save now, Lord. And here was our Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, riding in as scripture foretold on Palm Sunday to be that lamb slain, the lamb without blemish. Help us not to be fickle, shallow, but to truly understand that Good Friday is coming before Easter. Help us to recognize our sin that required a sacrifice of the Messiah. And it's His name we, in His name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.